The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing would be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. And when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more enough for them to eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. For the next, about 5 weeks, we're going to be reflecting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. And this is the section in John's Gospel. We've just heard the opening verses of the chapter, where Jesus speaks about himself as the bread of life. Every 3 years, the cycle of readings comes back to this section, and we meditate in the summertime on this gift of the Eucharist, the 6th chapter, sometimes called the bread of life discourse. Jesus calls himself, "I am the bread of life." And we spend this time because St. John gives us his Eucharistic theology. Now, we've just spent a few weeks meditating and reflecting on what does it mean to be a prophetic people. And again, if you remember last Sunday, Jesus is ministering to the people. He's feeding them, in a sense, and they're tired, and they go off, and they try to find some quiet time to rest up from their busy activity. Jesus has just sent out the disciples two by two, and they've been ministering, casting out demons, healing the sick. And if you remember, Jesus arrives at the shore. The people have seen where they've crossed the Sea of Galilee. They run across, they run around, and there they are waiting for Jesus when he disembarks. And what does it say? He says, "Hit the road, folks, I'm tired." No, he doesn't say that. It says, his heart was moved with compassion for the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them, began to minister to them. So we may not see the connection, but I believe that it's a very powerful connection for us being a prophetic people, being, again, what we talked about, people of the truth, people of compassion, people ministering and reaching out to the world, being like Jesus. And if you recall last Sunday, I said, we got to stop being angry about the world, about the government, about the Muslim terrorists, about all the problems in our world. You know, that seems to be the theme in many Christians' lives. They're mad, they're angry about something or other in the culture. We got to stop that. And we got to pray to have the heart of compassion that Jesus had for his people. And realize that we're not going to change the world. But rather, the more that we become that prophetic people, the more like we become like Jesus, the more we're going to be able to minister to the world and bring it to healing and bring it to truth. And so I think that perfectly segues into these readings in the Gospel of John on the bread of life. So in the early church, the first three writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them the Synoptic Gospels because that word in Greek means seen together. They're very similar. If you were to put Matthew, Mark, and Luke side by side, there's almost an identical pattern. John's Gospel is very different. However, different, yes, but still the same theological issues that St. John and the other Gospels want to address to us. And so it's interesting that in all four Gospels, however, even though they're all different, in all four Gospels, there is an account of this event that we read today, the multiplication of the loaves. And John places it right at the beginning of his sixth chapter, where he's going to start to talk through the words of Jesus and say, "I'm the bread of life. If you eat me, you will live forever. Those who do not eat my body and drink my blood cannot have life," and all those famous sayings that we're probably pretty familiar with. But this story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish is in all four Gospels, which says to us right away, this is an important story in the life of Jesus. This is really important to all four writers, Gospel writers, and it's saying something very powerful to us. We're going to look at that in a moment. So again, St. John, the way he approaches it is that throughout his Gospel, he takes the major feasts of the Jewish calendar, Tabernacles, Pentecost, and now Passover. If you notice, it says the feast of Passover was near, St. John mentions. That's very important because, again, what St. John is going to do in this passage, he's going to make some connections for us. He's going to show us how Jesus fulfills the feast of Passover in himself. Now, we're probably fairly familiar with the feast of Passover. We probably watched the movie by Cecil B. DeMille, Ten Commandments, or maybe seen the more modern animated film, Prince of Egypt. Maybe we've seen some of those films, wonderful films, that tell us that basic story where God liberated his people who were in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. So we're familiar, I think, with that story, the ten plagues, the mighty works. But some people don't realize, because they haven't read the passage, that what was the purpose of that liberation? We find it in the book of Exodus. When Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and ask him to release the people, what do they say initially? They say, "Release the people, for we are to go into the desert and worship the Lord on the mountain." And Pharaoh says, "No." And what does that mean? How is that connected with what we're talking about today? Well, again, all we have to do is think about Passover. What does God command? When Pharaoh says no, and God begins to execute judgment on Egypt through the plagues, what do they have to do? They have to take a lamb. They have to kill it. This is the final, after the final plague, the death of the firstborn. And they have to mark the lintels, the doors of their homes, because the angel of death is going to pass over. And now again, why does St. John mention Passover? Because again, we're to see the connections between Passover and the Eucharist. This miracle of the loaves and the fish is a prefigurement of the gift of the Eucharist. The Lamb of Sacrifice is now Jesus at this altar. The mountain to which the people were called to worship is this church, this altar. The sacrifice that saves us from death, the Eucharist, Jesus himself. The meal that the people to eat when they marked the blood of their doors, the lamb that was roasted. Here is the meal prefigured in that event and brought to fulfillment in Jesus, the Eucharist. Listen carefully to the words of this gospel passage where Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish. He took the loaves, he gave thanks, and then he gave them out. That's Eucharistic language. St. John knows that. He would have celebrated the Mass with the other believers in the early church. We forget that sometimes. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. That's a Eucharistic pattern. And we're meant to see that. Jesus is the fulfillment. He's, again, at the end of the gospel today. He's the new Moses. Notice what the people say. The people said, truly, this is the prophet that was to come into the world. That's hearkening back again to the Passover event where Moses says to the people, God will one day raise up another prophet like me. That's what he's talking about, Jesus. Notice, though, the crowd. What does St. John say about the crowd, the people? They're seeking Jesus out. You know, the crowd symbolizes us, the human race, who is hungry not just for bread, but for meaning and purpose and happiness. And Jesus wants to feed that as well. But we have to ask ourselves, what if we refuse to eat? Again, how does Jesus feed us? He feeds us through his word. He feeds us through his body and blood. He feeds us through our times of prayer each day with the Lord. He feeds us through ministry and service. As often people in ministry will say to me, you know, Father, I was ministering to the poor or this or that, but you know what? I think I got more out of it than what I gave. That's, again, that's that same idea, that miraculous way in which God ends up feeding us when we forget ourselves and seek the needs of others. But notice also the crowd mistakes the sign. And it says they were going to seize him and carry him off and make him king. And what does Jesus do? He leaves. He escapes. Why? Because again, he will not submit to our agenda. We have to open up our hearts in order for God, in order for Jesus to really feed us. We've got to surrender. We've got to open up our hearts and allow him to feed us. It's not the opposite. It's not vice versa. We don't go to God and say, okay, here's all my plans. Here's everything I'm doing, Lord. All right, you bless it. No, that's not the way God works. He wants us to come to him and say, okay, Lord, what are you asking of me? What do you want of me? And then he pours his Holy Spirit into our hearts. Then he feeds us. He guides us and directs us. You know, the Mass is the only bread that we need and yet cannot be bought and is given out freely. Do you ever think about that? It's the only bread we cannot buy, but which we need, desperately need. Jesus says, as we'll hear in the weeks to come, I am the bread of life. If you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot have life within you. He says, do not seek the bread that perishes, but the bread rather that leads to eternal life. Again, that's those same messages that Jesus is saying. I want to feed you, but you've got to open up your heart. I've got a special way in which I'm going to feed you. You cannot make me do things your way. You've got to open up your heart and surrender. So again, are we failing to see the sign? Are we so busy, so wrapped up, so preoccupied in our own lives, in our own agenda that we fail, like many did, even in the time of Jesus, to see the sign, to see what Jesus is doing. At the end of this chapter, we'll see that many of the disciples said, "This is too hard. We do not accept this teaching," and they left Jesus. And then Jesus turns to his apostles and says to them, to Peter, to James and John and Andrew, "Will you also leave?" You notice that Jesus doesn't run after the crowd that has just left and say, no, I didn't really mean what I said. He doesn't do that. He turns to his most intimate friends and says, "Will you also leave?" And what does Peter say? "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." We really need to listen to that today. Think about those words today, Peter's words. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life." St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II said this. He said, "The great danger for us as Christians in the modern world," he said, "in the midst of a society whose idols are pleasure, comfort, and independence, lies in the fact that people close their hearts and become selfish." It seems kind of pretty simple when you think about it, but I think it's very profound. Because what is the Holy Father saying here? Again, let me read it. "The danger for us as Christians in the midst of a society whose idols are pleasure, comfort, and independence lies in the fact that people close their hearts and become selfish." Again, we're called to be a prophetic people. What's the opposite of being a prophetic people? A people whose idols are pleasure, comfort, and independence. That prevents us from being prophetic. It prevents us from being fed. And it prevents us from one of the most important things about being fed, and where I want to end today this thought. Jesus wants to feed us, not just to feed us, but to feed the world. And he's going to do it through his church. So if we, like the Holy Father says, if we fall into the temptation of those idols of pleasure and comfort and independence, we cannot be that prophetic people that God is calling the church to be. And we cannot be fed, and therefore we cannot feed the world. Again, people are angry about what's going on in the world. Stop being angry. Start being fed. Open your hearts. Stop seeking the idols of pleasure, comfort, and independence. Start opening your hearts and being fed by Jesus. And what you'll find is a miracle takes place in you. Not only will you be happy, not only will you find peace, but you'll find that God begins to use you to minister and bring peace and happiness to others. God bless you.